Show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight.
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am.
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
One night in one American city. Multiply that by hundreds of cities and what have you got? A country where culture means pornography and slasher films. Where ethics means payoffs, graft, insider trading. Where integrity means lying, whoring, and intoxication. This country is in deep trouble, people. This country is rotten to the core, and somebody better do something about it.
Open your mouth and tell them what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
And hello, welcome to the Brad Westmar Show. Let's dig right into things. Matt, you know, here, I believe yesterday, I sent you a very special email that talked a little bit about somebody's, a particular blogger's, six biggest pet peeves of podcasting. Did you happen to get that?
I did get that.
Okay. And in that, we'll talk about those here very shortly. We're going to see how many of those we actually do. One of them, I've just gone ahead and decided, let's just start the show, because that's one of them. So,
yep.
Just going to get right into the show first. And I've got tons of things to do, but there's one very important thing to begin the show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been in this new studio at Jackalope Radio now for, what, about 5 weeks or so? 4 or 5 weeks, roughly? Okay. And we just joked quite a bit today. Matt and I did a little texting exchange where I said something, he said something, then I said, "Rocket, baby." And then he realized I was quoting Def Leppard's song, "Rocket." So then he threw in a line, and then I got in the line of guitar, drums under the studio table. You know, because that's what, you know, we joke about. The drums are still under the studio table. We also have had a lot of problems with dirt and just filthiness overall. And I've gone on to tangents and probably a little bit stronger than I would like to as Brad 2.0. But today I came in and Todd was setting some things up. And little did I know that behind me, something kind of smells. Wonder what. And I turn around and lo and behold, Matt, what did I find that I texted you a picture of?
You found some Arby's.
Again, some Arby's food, because that's something that's never happened around here. So inside that bag, was that bag empty, Matt?
No, it wasn't.
No. What did you see in there?
Curly fries.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Old Matt, curly fries.
Yes. Yes. And they smelled bad. Did they not smell, Todd? You threw it away.
They were terrible.
Yeah,
they
was horrible. Terrible. And horrible. So the last, Charles Barkley thinks they're horrible, terrible. That the last time this happened, I complained and complained, and we decided to point the finger at Hugh, who is your longstanding co-host on Nightwatch, and one of them, of course, but Hugh's been with you the longest. And Hugh, I did this on Facebook, and Hugh denied it. Hugh, and I actually believed him, because I saw his little elfness, and I said, "Wow, I believe Hugh. I feel bad that I have raked Hugh over the coals on my show when it wasn't his food." Now, the good news is, this time, Matt, Todd was clear-headed. And Todd said to me, "That was Hugh's. I know that was Hugh's. That was last night. And Hugh brought it in, and I made him eat it over there in the corner. Because I didn't want it all over the studio table. Didn't want him messing up this place." So sure enough, it was Hugh who left that bag. You have no doubt about that. Is that right, Todd? No doubt whatsoever.
No doubt.
Okay. Okay. Matt, are you ready to make a phone call?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's call Hugh McClanahan or whatever.
McClanahan.
Okay. Hugh McClanahan. Terrible Scottish accent. Can never understand a damn word he's saying. I'm not kidding you. You're going to translate, Todd. Okay? You translate for me.
That would be funny.
We don't get him. We're going to leave him a voicemail. I'd like everybody to chime in, too. Okay. Yeah, it's long distance to Scotland.
Started with, hi, this is Arby's.
You have reached the Sprint voicemail box of...
Hugh McLennan.
Hey, McLennan. Hey, Hugh, it's Brad, Brad Westmar of the Brad Westmar Show. I've also got my co-host, Matt. Matt, say hi.
Hello.
And, of course, you know Todd Sheets very well.
Hello.
And we are here. We want to let you know that Arby's came by earlier. They knocked on the door here at the studio and said that you had left something here that they needed to have back. And, Hugh, seriously, are you trying to turn the new studio into a garbage can? What is the whole deal? A couple of months ago, I went on Facebook and I laid you out, also on my show, for having this the audacity to leave a bag of Arby's with a bunch of food in it overnight in the studio. And you claimed on Facebook, it wasn't me, you said in your, how would you, what kind of a voice? Give me the voice. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. I was in the loo.
Yeah, yeah. So I believed you, Hugh. I did. But this time, you've done it again. And this time, your good buddy and longtime host here, Todd Sheets, knows it was you. There were curly fries still in there. It smelled like S-H-I, okay? It was horrible. Why can't you clean up after yourself, my Scottish friend? What is your whole problem? Anybody else want to chime in here? Anybody?
Yeah, it was in the corner there, Hugh, by the printer. The Arby's bag of doom. We didn't know it was here. So thanks for leaving that in there. When we came in, it smelled like fish and cracker.
Hi, Matt, how glad are you that you can do the show via satellite?
This is just another example of how excited I am to be 4 hours away from the Jackalope Studios.
I don't blame you. It's nasty, and you are not setting a good example. Hugh, what does your house look like? What does it look like in that jello pit right now?
Please. His house is like meticulous.
No way.
Yeah, he just leaves it all
here. That's
why
he comes here and leaves it all. Nice. Hugh, please, call us back if you want to defend yourself. Otherwise, take this and shove it.
Take this Arby's bag
and shove it up your cake hole, okay? Brad Westmar saying, still love you, man. Goodbye.
We still love you, man. Okay.
Oh, Hugh, you jackhole. Okay. So, shall we get on with the show?
Might as well. You've already ground it to a halt this long.
No, absolutely not. Let's talk about NFL Films, a seminal success.
NFL Films present a seminal success. He was born Archibald Archie Manning. And for 14 seasons, this NFL quarterback completed more than 2,000 passes. But he will be immortalized for two completions in particular. Not on the gridiron, but in the bedroom. On a steamy June night in 1975, Archie went deep to conceive the MVP in Super Bowl 41. Not five seasons later, on a chilly March night in 1980, Archie stepped into the pocket and dumped one underneath to reproduce his second consecutive Super Bowl MVP. And so, Archie Manning stands head and shoulders above all comers as a seminal success.
That's terrible.
No kidding. Everybody, I'm Peyton Manning. Yeah, I thought you'd like to hear that, though.
That's nice.
And
that's
it was funny. Yeah, because I found that right before Steve Sable died. And
did you?
Yeah. So, you know, Steve Sable, I mentioned this on Twitter. You know, you got people like Steve Sable who are like these icons, you know, sports, and not just the NFL, but sports, because if you look at sports and you look at things that have been done over the years that are a cool thing, you know, you think of Steve Sable. I mean, granted, he just did the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, but, you know, you look at guys like Chris Berman and you're like, what happened to you? You know, you got Steve Sable, icon, you got Chris Berman, POS. You know, yes. Come on, you don't like Berman anymore,
no,
do you?
No, I don't. No, exactly. Zach is tired. Yes.
Exactly. So, and this happened a while back too. And it must have been the anniversary of Tom Meese's death. Was that why they were talking about him so much on SportsCenter a couple of weeks ago?
Did you catch that? It's football season. All I watch is NFL Network.
Okay. Well,
that's my excuse to get away from ESPN.
You know, you look at Tom Meese, and you remember Tom Meese, of course, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You look at Tom Meese, and you look at Chris Berman, and they were together a lot back then. I mean, those were like the two guys that I remember from the early ESPN and SportsCenter days. And
right.
It makes you wonder where Tom Meese would be at now on the I got peanut butter.
Wow, thanks.
Nice.
Peanut butter goo. Sorry. Makes you wonder where Tom Meese would be on the ESPN totem pole, where you got Chris Berman, who just automatically has to be there because he's been there so long.
Does he have to?
They put him there.
I know they put him there, but does he have to be
he
there?
He puts himself there. No, yeah. I don't think he has to be. I don't think he should be. But you look at him and the way he was. He wasn't always a jerk-off, was he?
Yeah. I kind of think so.
Yeah, maybe he was. And Tom Meese wasn't. See? Was he? No, I don't think he was.
I don't think so.
How can a guy drown in a pool and you think of a bad thought about him? You can't. You know, can you swim, Matt?
Yeah.
You can't? Good.
Yeah,
good.
I can swim.
Todd, can you swim?
Yes.
Okay. So, it's okay for me to make fun of people who can't swim. No, I'm not going to make fun of Tom Meese. But the point is that you feel bad for a guy who drowns in a pool, so you look at Tom Meese and you think tender thoughts. Tender thoughts. Yes. So we've been away for a while, and I'm trying to think of which way to go. Well, you know, I was on vacation last week.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
Nice Brett Michaels straw cowboy hat, by the way.
Hey, thank you. You know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Just, you know, is that one of those things you just wear on vacation? Everybody's guilty of it.
Oh, yeah,
you're on vacation, you're like, I'm going to wear a straw cowboy hat.
Absolutely.
Because I'm on vacation.
Absolutely. That's exactly. I've always wanted one. You know, you can wear a hat like that and not be country and still look okay. You know, you can't wear and you can't wear a Clint Black hat or a Garth Brooks hat or a Brad Paisley hat if you're not country. You know what
right.
I mean? Okay. But you can wear a hat like that and still be okay. And you blend right in with the tourists when you wear something like that. So,
yeah.
I never wore it in public. I just wore it to the pool and to the beach. So,
you going to wear it around Kansas City?
I might.
Oh, that'd be cool.
When are you coming to town?
We should wear matching straw cowboy hats next time we go grab a beer.
Make sure that your tattoos are showing, though.
Oh, for sure. And I got the sweetest farmer's tan to go with it, too.
I was going to say, you know, you talk about tans. I'm just telling you right now, I have never had a tan like this. I want me, okay? I mean, it's amazing. And I'm not just talking about my feet. I'm talking about everything. You know, I'm tan all over, you know.
Your feet are tan. Everybody knows your feet are tan.
That's what I've heard. Everybody knows that. So, but let's not talk about my beautiful picture, my lovely straw cowboy hat, or my tan feet. Let's talk a little bit about details. You know, we talked a little bit before that you thought I'd have some stories. I don't want to say that I have stories, but I do have some thoughts. First of all, the 3:30 a.m. wake-up call was a big bitch that first morning to have to get up and get on a plane by 6:30, I think it was. So up at 3:30, out of the house by 4:30, at the airport by 5, you know, it was an early morning, so...
Yikes.
That was tough. But Presley enjoyed her very first flight. It went really well. She didn't have any ear problems. Every once in a while, she'd start yelling because you could tell that her ears weren't popping, so she couldn't really hear anything. She'd be like yelling instead of talking in a normal voice. It was pretty funny. The second flight, we got screwed on our seats, and we ended up having to sit in the very back where there was no window. And
ooh,
Presley was pissed off because she was like, no, I'm not sitting. I'm like, you have to sit. You don't have a choice. You have to sit back here. So we sat her next to where the window would be, unfortunately. And the good news was she was so tired by that second flight that she took a nap anyway. So that was good. And it's amazing that she took a nap, because if you've been to bradwestmar.com recently, you will see some highlighting pictures of our Westmar vacation. And one of those pictures that's on there, or a couple of those pictures, is of one of the drunk people that were on our plane from Atlanta to Pensacola.
Butter.
Yes. Butter. Yes, call her Butter. But how did I say that again? Call her Butter.
We call her Butter. Look at those rolls.
Because she's got rolls or something like that. Yeah. I even took a picture of it. She was just loud, and they were drunk, and it was like a, there was like 10 of them, and they were all sitting there in the back. It was horrible, and it's the first time it's really ever happened to me that I can remember, you know?
Okay.
So you've been through that before yourself, but you're usually knocked out, right?
I am, but if the flight's long enough, I'll wake up, and I'm still okay. The drugs still work, but you know, it's, you're kind of like trying to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had this lady with this southern accent sitting like right behind me last time I flew, and it was awful. She would not shut up.
Yeah. It's definitely worse to have them behind you. These people were in front of us, but the one, it was just, she was just sitting to the left and of me on the other side and one row in front of me, and she was just yelling the entire time. And it took us about 5 minutes, and I turned to Christy and I said, I think they're drunk. She goes, I think you're right. And sure enough, as when the drinks came out, they got booze. It was only 11 o'clock in the morning Atlanta time. So, and they were already hammered when they got on the plane, you know. And it was bad. I mean, I took pictures. I tweeted pictures. I hashtagged AirTran the whole nine yards. It was just really annoying. But you know, there's really not much they can do about that. You know, with the flight attendants and stuff. I mean, what are you gonna? I mean, unless they're getting out of control and unruly or something like that. And they weren't. They were just loud. You know, so
yeah,
and yelling,
but still, I mean, you know, you're right next to someone in an enclosed space. You don't need to yell.
It's true. It's very true. At least they weren't trying to smoke. You know.
Oh gosh.
But,
Now
something else I learned. I don't spend a lot of time in the ocean or in lakes, but I've been to the ocean multiple times. I've been to lakes multiple times, and it took me a while to realize how much I don't like swimming. "Quote unquote swimming," which I'll call the swimming that I did for the most part in the ocean, walking, you know, in the water for the most part. But I don't like sharing my walking in the ocean with other marine life. Now, everybody has issues, you know, Matt. You've got flying issues. I have issues with fish. I grew up fishing. I never touched fish. I just did not like touching fish. The only fish I've ever touched is probably a goldfish. You know, and I picked them up, you know, taking them out of the fishbowl and stuff like that before. But for the most part, you're not going to catch me touching a fish very often. They're not my thing. Do you have a problem touching fish?
I'm right there with you.
Okay, good.
No thanks.
Good. Then we're on the same page. So when it comes, Todd, you don't mind touching fish. But then again, look at you. Never mind. I mean, you probably have a fish in your back pocket right now.
I don't.
No, named Hugh. The first time I went out there, the very first late afternoon we got there on Saturday afternoon, I walked out there. I don't remember seeing any fish. It was a yellow tide, which is kind of the medium thing. It was like, you know, it was busy, but it wasn't so bad that you couldn't go out there, and it wasn't like just ridiculous waves or anything, but the water wasn't quite as clear. The next day, the water was a lot more clear. It was I don't know what the other color, the next best color is, but it was a good day. It was a very clear day, clear water day, kind of calm. And I started seeing fish all over the place. I mean, within, you know, literally, there was some of them that were small and medium size that were just being washed up on the shore for a split second with the waves, and then washed back out to shore. I mean, they're just everywhere. And then that was about the time Presley wanted to go out a little bit deeper in the water. Now, the cool thing about this beach was that it's a man-made beach. So you can go out for, I don't know, 100 yards, and you're still only waist deep or less if you're 6 foot tall or so. You know, it's not it's not a deep beach within, you know, 20 yards or something like that. So okay. I kind of like that, and I kind of didn't, because I used to like to be able to go out a little bit deeper and just tread water. I feel a little safer with that. If I feel a fish on my leg, you know, it's kind of a mishap. But if I keep vertical or horizontal, and if I'm like swimming, like, you know, doing a forward stroke or something like that, less chance a fish is going to touch me. See? But you can't do that in 3 feet of water, you know? So I'm out there with her, and I immediately start seeing much larger fish. I mean, we're talking a good, you know, some of them were probably close to, you know, 8-9 inches long, which to me is a pretty good sized fish for being 20 yards out, you know, from the shoreline, you know. And literally, I swear to God, they were like following me. They were like coming towards me, and I would like walk the other way, and it would like walk away. I'm like, Presley, we got to go. And she started to squeal and scream, and she thought it was all funny. It's, like, it's not funny, honey. I don't like this. These are, go away. I don't like to be touched by these things, you know? Because you don't really know what you're going to find. You don't really know what's going to be there.
You got OCD issues, man.
No, I really don't think I have OCD issues. I may have OCD in the water issues.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. That could be.
I'd be thinking, okay, if there's this many small fish around,
yeah.
What, and they're in such a hurry, what are they running from?
Well, it's true.
What are they swimming away from? And
look,
and how big is it?
You know, there are plenty of sharks in that water. Look, we saw within the first 2 days, in the morning on our deck, we saw dolphins from a long distance. We could see the dolphins jumping and stuff. It was very nice. We also, I didn't see this, but Presley and Christy were walking early in the morning on the beach one morning, and they had stingrays pointed out to them right up along the shoreline. They basically said, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but I want to tell you so you don't let your daughter accidentally run over here into the water, but there's some stingrays right there. And sure enough, they were right up there along the shoreline about 7:30 in the morning. So,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, very cool, but at the same time, geez, you know, where are the jellyfish? Where are the sharks? Where are the piranhas? I mean, there could be anything in this water. There could be anything.
I watch way too much Shark Week.
Yeah.
To go out in the water like that. I'd just be right up there building sandcastles.
So you've been to the ocean before?
Yeah. We went there. We went to Naples for our honeymoon.
Okay.
Naples, Florida. Mm-hmm. And then we had wandered out, you know, probably like neck deep in the Gulf there. And
Okay.
That was probably not a very good idea now that I think about
it. Do you remember seeing or feeling any fish?
I did. Ugh. Something bumped my legs.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. I don't know how big it was, but that was the end of that.
Oh, yeah. See, I was going to add, good. See, it's horrid. You know? It's just not.
Thanks. I want nothing to do with them.
I completely agree with you.
Hey, you are in their house, man.
Well, it's true. True. You make a good point. I can't disagree.
I didn't say I wanted to, like, dynamite the area before I went in there.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You know, somebody said to me on Twitter, well, you know, you need to share it with them. It's like, yeah, well, share means you take your part, I'll take mine. We don't need to touch. Okay? You know, Todd, we're sharing this studio right now. How many times have we touched today?
Not many.
No, not very many. Exactly.
That butt grab.
You see, I appreciate you doing that to me. So
typical pre-show ritual.
That's right. Exactly. So that's where I'm at with hanging out with. You know, when we went to, I think it was when Christy and I went to Cancun in roughly 2000. The year it was Kay Squeaky.
Oh. Jeez.
God. When we went to a Cancun, our second trip to Mexico. We went on a little snorkeling trip. Well, Christy's not a big fan of the water to begin with anyway, which I think is why she has OCD about our daughter learning to swim, because she doesn't want our daughter to turn out like her not being... I mean, she'll swim, she can do some stuff, but, you know, it's like not her favorite thing. So she was not into snorkeling. Well, I went out and snorkeled. And, I mean, the good thing about snorkeling when you're in deep water is you generally can look down and the fish are generally staying down there. I mean, you can stay up at the surface and look down. You can see the stuff from above. And that's all I did. I didn't need to see any more until I saw the barracuda. Okay? They actually pointed, oh, look, there's a barracuda. Look right. Oh, my God, that's a barracuda. It's like not even 5 feet from my feet. I'm done. Get me back in. Please. Because it's just...
Panicked, Brad.
Oh, it's a frightening thing, let me tell you. Because they look exactly like... What are you shaking your head about? Don't tell me. You've got a barracuda in the house, too, don't you? You do. No?
In the tub
with the piranhas.
It's just, you went to Florida, and you're, like, freaking out over all the native animals there.
It's like complaining about it being hot.
Well, okay. That's true. Let me tell you, I'm glad you brought that. Good segue. Here we go. The sun down there. Okay, I was very concerned when we went down there. It's the first time I've been to Florida. And the weather wasn't looking great because, you know, it's been 105 degrees here for 6 months. And I was looking at the weather in Florida. And it's like, it's going to be in the 80s. I don't know. I hope it's going to be warm enough. I hope we can still swim and have a good time and be comfortable and stay outside a lot. And little did I know, the sun down there is so much different than it is in the Midwest. And let me give you some of my ideas. I don't know if you guys will agree, but here's how I see it. We didn't sweat really at all while we laid in the sun for 3 or 4 hours. Now, I was in the sun more than my wife, who was under the umbrella quite a bit, but Presley and I were in the sun a lot. You don't sweat. You know, you don't get exhausted. The sun at 85 degrees was a nice, warm sun, especially by the ocean. And every day I would spend 3 hours in it. I would come inside, and by the time I went to bed, I'd be pretty red. But it didn't hurt. And the next morning, I would wake up with a bronze brown tan. And it went that way every single day. And I still have it, and I plan to keep it forever. But that was my experience. The sun and the weather, I had no idea how great the sun could be at 85 degrees in September in Florida. Matt, Todd, yes.
It's like that in around New Year's, too. That's why I go there at New Year's.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's insane.
It's a much milder weather down there. That's why it's a great time to go. Matt, your experience, what time of, you got married in this?
May.
So it was right as it started to get a little warmer down there. Was it pretty warm when you went?
It was, yeah, but I don't remember it being like suffocating or anything, though.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you just don't want to go in July or August, probably, I'm guessing.
No.
But the sun was definitely perfect down there.
Did you take this poor child to any theme parks, man?
Yeah. No, we went to the aquarium in Destin, which was 6 miles to the east of where we were at. We were actually in Fort Walton Beach, and so we went to, it's called the Gulfarium, I think it's called the Gulfarium, or it was a great aquarium. We have an aquarium here in Kansas City that just opened up at the Crown Center. You pay like $20 for you and your $20 a piece for like and your kid to go.
It's nuts.
It is a POS aquarium here in Kansas City. We paid the same amount for us to go into this thing. This thing was 1 million times better there in Florida. So yeah, we did go to an aquarium. It was fantastic. We saw everything under the sun. Now see, they're in captivity. They don't bother me. You know, it doesn't matter. Stingrays, sharks. You know, the dolphin show. You know, the penguins. Stuff like that. They're all very cool. But because they were in cages, but you know,
I can't touch you.
Exactly. Don't pet them. One more thing I noticed, and that I did have a picture of this on the website. We went out to eat one night, and we went to granted tons of seafood restaurants down there, and we went to one, and I was very excited because I realized when I got there, oh my God, I'm in Florida. They have Yingling here. We've talked about Yingling. Yingling's that beer that you can only get in certain parts of the country. It's supposed to be the nectar of the gods. It's a great lager. It's like the oldest brewer in the country. And Yingling, it's a good beer. It's solid. Everybody knows that it is that drinks beer. And so they have it on tap everywhere, too. And so we went out to dinner, and I ordered a Yingling. And because I couldn't really, didn't know what the other beers were they had. They had a bunch of other ones, too, but I didn't want to take a chance. I'll just bring me a Yingling. I had a 12-pack of Yingling in the refrigerator at the condo, too, and ended up leaving 6 of them for the guy who owned it because I just couldn't get them all down because I drank so much at the bar. Anyway, sidetrack there. Okay. It's a little ambient talk there. So they bring it to me in a plastic cup. And oh. I've got a really tough pet peeve about this. Here's the thing.
Highfalutin Brad time.
All right, but Matt, do you tell me if you disagree and you don't care? I want you to be honest with me, okay? Seriously, because I have never asked you to lie for me. So, hint. No, I'm kidding.
Only to the police.
Exactly, Walter. Well, you don't. See, I'm getting sidetracked again. Sorry. Just kidding. Beer in glass, good. Beer in frosty mug, better. Beer in plastic cup, not so good, kind of warm tasting. Good beer in plastic cup, the absolute worst. Okay? I understand why they did it. I got to be empathetic to this place. They're one of those places that's along the beach, along the ocean, and they've got an outdoor area. They probably, when they are busy, get pretty hepped up. They got people outside. They don't want to have the glasses out there and everything else. So I kind of get that, okay? But I got to tell you, beer in a plastic cup. For as much as I love Red Solo Cup, the song, okay, because I appreciate it for what it is, you know?
Trash.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I appreciate it because Toby Keith and I wear the same hat. But I do not like beer in plastic cups. It does not taste good. It also gets very warm very fast. Matt, seriously, be honest with us. You don't drink a lot of beer, but if you had a choice, or do you have an opinion?
Beer in plastic cups is acceptable in two places, and that's frat parties / college parties of any kind,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and ballparks.
Fair.
That's it.
Yeah,
there's
I agree.
No excuse for it to be in anything other than a bottle, or I don't even like it out of the can. Bottle or glass?
I've gotten that way too, that I'm starting to like it a lot more in a glass no matter what I'm drinking. I mean, if I'm going to have it in something, I'm going to have it in a bottle first. I mean, I realized how bad cans taste too. You know, I started to realize that. But that's where
beer,
I'm at.
Beer, it all tastes bad.
No, see, that's just it. It doesn't. See, now, these days, I'm a connoisseur of beers.
Yeah.
So I really don't like to taste. I don't want to taste Miller Lite at all. So, but if you're going to give me a Miller Lite, you better give it to me. I don't care if it's in a plastic cup. It's going to taste like crap anyway. But I don't want it in a plastic cup at all in general. So I get that. And then on a side note of that, this brought back a memory that I thought you would appreciate, although you might not remember this one. Service in restaurants. I don't envy people who work in the food service industry as servers at a restaurant. And I don't envy it because I can't for the life of me imagine me serving Matt and his family and Todd and his family at a restaurant. And I'm saying that, you know, in jest. I mean, I can't imagine serving families their dinner and waiting on them. I just can't do it. I'm not saying I'm above it. I'm just saying it's just not a job that I think I could do. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. 100%.
It's tough.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah. You mean for me or for you?
We're thankful.
Wait a minute. Wait, I don't even
both?
Want to.
Can I say both?
Yeah, you can say both. Yeah, clarify.
Okay, both.
No, yeah. But you do get
I have this picture of you as a waiter now in my head.
Okay, terrible. Okay. Put hold that thought for 1 second. Okay.
All right.
Before we go to a break, I gotta tell this. First of all, you never know what kind of food you're gonna get when you go to a place if you've never been to the place before, especially. Okay. So I always hate taking a roll of the dice and going to a new place because you don't know if you're gonna like it, and you've just wasted a meal and money if you don't like it. You know, so that's tough. And then if you go to a place, even if you're familiar with the place, if you know the service is spotty, you know, like Bob Rose in Sioux City.
Hey, you know, they have good service.
Mm-hmm. And
terrible.
And you know, so you never really know what kind of service you're gonna get either. And but the reason I bring all that up is because I have served tables to a point before for one evening for a couple of hours back during the real radio days at Perkins Restaurant, which I believe is still standing there by the Sioux City Auditorium, the Tyson Event Center.
Pardon me, yes. It's still there.
Okay. And we did a promotion through the radio station when I was working there where they had some celebrity servers. And I ended up, I kid you not, I always forget about this, and I barely remember it. And I don't remember any details at all, except I did not like it. And I had to, at the very least, bring out food to people. I don't remember if I did anything else. I had somebody spotting me and watching me, thank God. You know, it'd be like, they're not going to put me in a police car and expect me to go pull somebody over and give them a ticket without somebody, you know, watching me to make sure I do it right. Same thing with, you know, they're not going to let me serve somebody's food without it. But I just remember not liking it very much. And the only thing that saved me from it was being BJ Bradley. And like, oh, you know, BJ Bradley, blah, 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 you know, serving food to you today, promotion, blah, 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 radio station, yada, yada, yada. But I wish I could tell you a story about it, but I can't remember it. That's how much I've blocked it out over the years.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
That would be great.
I'm
that
sure
would
the
be
people,
really, really entertaining.
Oh, yeah, I tell you.
They did the same, the
I'm
people there.
I'm sure they did. I don't think I made any tips either. But let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Todd's Pot Smoker Laugh. Also going to tell you a story about something I forgot to tell you about a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the roastery. This is a story. Remember the roastery with the airplane on 9/11?
Yes.
Okay. A story I forgot to tell you in relation to that in one of my former jobs. And we're also going to discuss the new Brad Westmar Show drinking game. All of that coming up. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Woo! The Brad Westmar Show. We'll be right back.
Blame it on getting old, or so I'm told. That's why it starts to grow there, sticking out of my nose and hobbit-like toes. It was the last place I thought I'd grow hair. And what a surprise hasn't come out my eyes. These little tufts are hard to explain, but I pluck them out, side of them makes me shout. Yeah, all I can do is complain that I got hair. Even though I shave, it grows back the next day. Now I'm not big on manscaping, but I try some Nair and Brazilian wax to know I got hair in weird places. It keeps sprouting, oh, I've got...
He once showed Lindsay Wagner his bionic limb. The Brad Westmar Show. This is the Brad Westmar Show.
Pardon me. I'm still eating a little bit. Hell. Matt, what's been going on with you?
Oh, nothing. Just listening to you chew on this goo.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky.
In my ear. It's kind of gross.
I got here. Let me help you out. Hmm. Hmm. It's kind of caught my teeth now. Hang on.
You know, if there was a commercial for peanut butter goo, you could sell it.
I could.
Just 30 seconds of you eating it in the camera.
I got to tell you, he sounds more like Elvis now than he does when he does his Elvis impression.
I got some stuck in my throat, too.
Oh, Lord have mercy. It's suddenly become the Griff Show over here.
Does he do that, too?
Yeah, all these weird noises.
Okay.
Are you done now?
I'm back, I think. Matt, I know one of the things, you've been busy. I know you've been busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I normally understand when you don't respond to emails or texts. Or well, usually you respond to texts. But I did send you a text that I was a little surprised I didn't get a response from. And it's not that anybody else is going to get this for the most part, but between you and me, real quick, I sent you a text about our favorite show, this show here, which I've got one more episode, and I'm caught up to you. I've watched through episode 7, season 5. Walter's going off the deep end. He has killed Mike. I need to watch.
Spoiler alert.
What's that? Oh,
that's spoiler alert.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Dang it. You of all people.
Oh. Horrible of me. I forgot because there's people out there watching.
Todd, can you edit that out? Just put in when he killed beep.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Can you do that for us?
I can.
Okay, good.
Anyway.
Okay, you got to make sure the name is totally not heard.
Everything's got to be gone.
It will be gone.
We can say he killed, can't we?
Yeah. Just
said it again.
Say he killed somebody.
Just don't say who it was. Don't let the name be heard. Okay. My bad, because I forgot. We've got, I believe it's Jeeves. Who's now watching it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So I don't want to spoil for him if he's early. So my mistake. So, but, you know, it is what it is. I guess we shouldn't talk about it now then. Wait a minute. I've listened to other shows before where they're like, you know what? If we're talking about it currently and the episode has already aired, you know, that's your tough twitty. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of true.
I mean, technically. But now, go ahead.
But now we've prefaced it, though, by saying we're going to talk about something. So if you have not seen you're not caught up with Breaking Bad, basically.
Yes.
To where it currently is.
Yes.
You should probably turn down your radio
for a few seconds here. So real quick, you know, I sent you a text message that said, and nobody's going to get this at all, but I sent you a text message. I'm going to read it verbatim because if I try to do it off the cuff, it's not going to. We were talking about the show. I said one of my problems with sleeping is waking up in the middle of the night and worrying about the latest screw-up from the Breaking Bad guys and not knowing for sure how they're going to proceed, you know. And then the next text after that, was the about 4 hours later, and I threw another one out there at you that came to me. I said, you know, the first thing I did when I woke up this morning was rewatch Rob Powers shooting that kid on the motorbike with the tarantula. Now, you understood that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he looks like Rob Powers.
Yes. Yes. But I was driving when I got it.
Yes. That's the idea. Were you? Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I was. And then I completely forgot about it.
But you laughed because you thought that
you got it.
Okay. Good. Good. Yes. Good. That's all I needed to hear, because there's only a few other people out there that know who Rob Powers is. And just so you people do know, and you can turn it back up now, we'll not talk about Breaking Bad anymore in direct. But this guy looks just like the guy who did the voiceovers, did the voice work for us on the old show. He was the guy who does what Jody does now. He did the Welcome to the Wild Wild Westmar show, and he was a guy that we worked with. And did you go to high school with him?
Yeah, I graduated with him.
Okay, see, there you go. Yeah. You graduated high school with the guy, too. So there you have it. But, yeah, the guy looks just like him. And, guys, I don't want you to spoil the last episode of this half of the season, but so far, I got to tell you, that guy's a tool bag. I mean, so far, he's like Rob Powers to the hilt. So.
I like well, I don't have any problems with Rob, but
no,
I did like how Jesse handled it.
Yeah, I agree.
Him. That's about how I would handle that.
I completely agree. Yes, totally agree. So no more. We won't say anymore. We don't want to spoil anything for Jeeves or anybody else. So enough about Breaking Bad. God, I love the show. I can't wait to watch that last episode.
I'll be waiting for your text. So,
oh, I believe it. It'll probably be 11 o'clock, but I'll be texting.
I don't care.
So, okay. Okay. So, moving right along. Peanut butter goo down in the old tummy. First off, Todd's pot smoker laugh. That's it right there. That's it. That's it. See? Right? Right? Sounds like he's here.
I have never done that in my life. Yeah. I've never done a drug.
I know why you haven't.
I'm a Christian person.
I understand that. But the thing is, if I hear this,
I'm a Christian person,
and then I hear this, I'm kind of confused. I don't know which it is. And there's this one too. I got that one. Todd, you're not liking this.
That's terrible.
What, Todd? Come on, admit it. You like it. You do. See, Todd, come on. You gotta laugh. Come on.
I have never had a stoner.
Come on, Todd. This is funny, don't you think? Yeah, you think it's funny, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Scare me a little.
Let's put them all together. Oh yeah.
Come on. You're scaring us all.
God, it's funny.
I want that as like a ringtone.
There you go. I'm going to put that. That's going to be my ringer for you now. I'm going to take off Jedi Superstar, whatever on there, and just to have that.
That Jedi Superstar is better.
Over and over and over. Let's see here. All right. So now you'll never know for sure if it's actually Todd laughing or if it's just the soundboard. Ain't that right, Todd?
That is right.
No, don't. Just a minute. The hands in the air, homie. Hands in the air. Todd, are we having fun or what? Yeah, I know. You think this is pretty funny, don't you, Todd? Yeah, so do I. Okay, good. Just want to make sure. You can talk now.
God, what a turd.
What's the matter?
I'm fine.
Good
I'm
sense
fine.
Of humor about yourself, you know?
You can listen to yourself when you talk.
Oh, that's for me. It's this guy here.
When you're talking to Todd Sheets, you're doing it on the run because he doesn't have much money.
Or we could do a little bit of this. We could do that. Or wait, how about something like this? Hey, everybody, Todd Sheets. Hey, Todd. Yeah. God. Oh, wait, how about this one? Hey, Todd, good morning. Hey, Todd, you think that's funny, don't you? Oh, Todd, it's not funny at all. Shame on you. Todd's afraid to laugh. I think he's like trying not to laugh on purpose for fear of making more sound clips.
No more of those.
Come on, Todd. Come on. It's funny because you actually did the pot smoker laugh during the first segment. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. I wish I could isolate that, too. But, see? There you go. There it was. You were starting.
Caught himself in mid-laugh.
Todd, it's okay. It's okay. It's just. I don't even remember how I came across it. I just did.
I'm just happy to be all I can be.
I know you are, definitely. So, Was that real or was that isolated? How about this one? That was isolated. There you go. So when we were talking about the roastery and the coffee company and how they decided to put a plane above their building on 9/11 and make themselves look kind of weird, I forgot to tell you this story. I liken that roastery thing to this happening. Back in the day, in the business that I was in before I was in the business that I am in now, of course.
Hello, it's your drug dealer.
I was in the import business. And at the time 9/11 happened, my boss had some of those little flag pins. I don't want to say that we sold to retail stores, so we were selling little knickknack items and stuff like that. Well, the flag pin, of course, took off. And I think, you know, presidents and presidential candidates and congressmen now, I think they still wear these little flag pins now on their lapel to this day, you know, 11 years later. So we got into that and started selling them because my boss back then, you know, hey, tragedy, that's great. It's too bad. Horrible. Let's make some money. So, because again, as Jesse would say, Mr. White, are we in the meth business or are we in the money business? Well, we were in the money business back then, the profit business, you know, or as Walter would say, the empire business. But anyway, where I'm going with this is we were selling flag pins and making, you know, some profit and everything else. We were trying to get more in from China, and China found out what was going on. Of course, they knew about 9/11 too, and they sent us some samples of some things that they thought we might be interested in and possibly, you know, selling to retail as well. And one of the items they sent us was a handcrafted, hand-painted, it looked like a child had done it, to be honest with you, but it was a handcrafted, hand-painted, made out of, I guess, ceramic, you could say. It had a magnet on the back of it, so it was basically a magnet, ceramic magnet. And it was of a plane heading towards a tall building.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding you. And we took a look at that and went, yeah, they just don't understand us. That's why they're China. You know? It just, it was the weirdest thing. It may have said 9/11, you know, never forget or something like that, but it was of a plane flying into a tall building. So you see my comparison there. Just kind of maybe nice. That was a lot worse, you know, by those little Chinamen. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I mean, you are what you are.
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
Sorry, you're not Chinese. Sorry, you're not Chinese. You are. Sorry. But anyway, so what was that? What'd you say?
That was Japanese.
So, it was. That is correct. So anyway, that I wanted to make sure I told that story. I meant to tell that story a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the roastery, but I thought it was legit. I thought you would appreciate that, Matt. So
that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So the, before we get to the Brad Westmar Show drinking game, I forgot at the top of the show, before we called Hugh and yelled at him, I mentioned to you that email that I sent regarding, can you find that? Do you happen to have that handy? Do you have your email open or not?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can find that email about pet peeves of podcasts. We have to share this with our listening audience as well. I will let you go ahead and at least read the, well, you can go ahead and read them real quick. We got time.
Number one.
Yes.
Let's check them off as we go. We'll see how we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one, long, meaningless introductions, part one.
Yeah, please read that.
Your podcast is not a movie. I don't want to listen to some corny, flashy, two-minute-long movie trailer introduction done by a professional voice actor. Just get straight to the business.
Mm-hmm. I think we lost that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, check that one off.
Okay, yeah.
Number two. Long, meaningless introductions, part two. Hmm. After the aforementioned movie trailer, surely the podcaster will dive right in, right? Sadly, 'tis not always so. Too often, there is drawn out irrelevant banter between show's hosts before the show truly gets underway. If the show is more of an entertainment-style talk show, that is fine.
Ah.
But for an educational-type show, this is less fine.
So we do get half credit. I mean, kind of, you know, a little bit of that and a little bit of that.
I think it's a ding.
I would. Okay, good. I wasn't so sure about that one.
Yeah, we're entertainment, and our show really never truly gets underway anyway. So,
and are we really entertainment, Todd?
That's a yes.
Apparently so. What's funny was he was going to the mic when I hit the, weren't you? You were going to the mic to say something, but I hit the laugh. That's good. Number three, please, Matthew.
Long song outros. Some podcasts play a whole song at the end of the podcast. I would have this guy using the same word over and over again in the same sentence.
All right, well, go ahead. Read it, because he's a bad writer. Yeah.
It is an irrefutable law of nature, however, that no two people like the same music. What is a rad song to one person is horrific cat scratch to another.
Let's be honest, though. John Hunter's tragedy is not cat scratch, but we do have to give ourselves a on that one. But we're an entertainment show. And we talk over it, most of it, too.
That's true.
So we probably should get at least half credit, if not more, on that. Yeah. Wouldn't you agree, Todd?
I think this guy needs to blow a goat, man. This guy's got issues. He's got OCD when it comes to podcasts. Boy,
today's word of the day, folks, with Todd is OCD. Isn't that right, Todd? Is that what you're... Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So, Matt, what do you got? What's the next one?
Number four, irregular posting schedules.
The best
is a podcast that releases a new episode every Thursday. Not horrible. A podcast that releases a new episode every week, but the exact day and time varies by a day or two. Bad. A podcast that releases two new episodes 1 week and then doesn't come out with any new ones for a month.
That reminds me of somebody.
My buddy. Wherever I go, he goes.
But you know, seriously, didn't we not have an off mic bet about him and his podcast?
We had an over under bet.
An over under bet. And hasn't he already passed us both?
I think so. I think we both lost.
So to his credit, Brandon, congratulations on that. Happy that you've done more than two episodes of your... What did we say? Three, four, something like that?
I think the over-under was three.
Okay.
And we both took the under.
Yeah. Yeah. So we lost. We lost bad. So
in our face.
Congratulations. But we do not have that problem, so we're okay with that. So
yeah, we're good there. Yeah, so we're good. Batting 500.
Good.
Number five, noises of ascent. I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and while the content was good and interesting, the co-host kept making and mm-hmm noises as the other co-host was talking. It's really a disconcerting sound to keep hearing over and over again in your ears.
I kind of feel that I've discussed this before. I have a little bit of a problem with that, and I'm trying not to do it, but it's just the way I am. It's the businessman in me who wants you to know that I'm hearing you, you know? So sometimes I do that.
I catch myself doing it once in a while too, but that is because we're not in the same room.
Right.
So I want you to know that I'm still here.
That's a good point. It probably would be a little bit different. Because you know, back when I was doing the show with Jared and you weren't on it yet, we didn't have that problem so much because he was there. I didn't want to interrupt him. He wouldn't interrupt me generally, and it worked pretty well. And you're right, it's a little bit different not being in the same room. So very good point. So I think we deserve at least a half credit on that one too. So
yeah, we'll take it.
Sure. Six.
Number six, interviews with the same people. Cripes almighty, this is the worst. If you're interviewing people on your podcast, find and interview people that your audience hasn't already heard and seen a billion times.
You know, they have a problem with that here locally with the sports station, but around here, the good thing is, since we don't do any interviews, we don't have any problems. So, that's good.
Right. That's the only good. People we interview are pretend.
Exactly.
And Brandon.
Exactly. From now on, we're not going to have Todd talk on the show. We're just going to go ahead and have him laugh. That'll be good. So, poor Todd. Poor toddler. So, thank you for helping us out with that. Matt, I thought that the audience might appreciate that. And now, before we close the show, because by the way, the other thing we were talking about doing, we're not going to get to tonight, Matt, for two reasons. First of all, you know, we don't want Todd to be too mad at us today.
Okay.
He's already mad at us about, so we don't want to.
We better wait then.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe some other time. So okay. Instead, let's go ahead and quickly talk about the Brad Westmar Show drinking game and rules that were put together by Mr. Alex Jeeves Penny from Scotland. Now, he is a guy from Scotland that I don't know personally face-to-face, but I'm going to assume, because I want to assume nice things about people from Scotland now for the rest of the show, that he would not leave a half-eaten Arby's bag in the studio if he was here.
You know what?
Yes.
I bet Jeeves would leave you a fresh bag of Arby's.
You know, that you're probably right. And with that said, that's what I expect from Hugh next time. So, here we go. Here is the Brad Westmar Show drinking game. Have you read this yet? You haven't seen this, have you?
I haven't seen it. I'm really anxious to hear this.
Let's see what we've got here. I'll bet he could expand on this even further. I know he added one recently to Twitter, but it had to do with my feet.
And
I think he wanted to have somebody take a drink or a shot every time my feet were mentioned on the show. So, it's been quite a drinking show already if you add that in there. Number one, every time someone says something to Todd, every time someone says something to make Todd exclaim, "What?" Like you do, because you do that. Could you give it to us? Go ahead.
What?
Yes, you can't. That wasn't bad. You do it even better when it's real. It was good. Yeah. Every time someone says something to make Todd exclaim, "What?" the listeners must take a shot. Okay. It's like, what? You know, it's like, what? You know
what's about,
go ahead, Matt.
Like, if he says, like, "You dirty dog," or something like that, does that count too?
I probably would.
Yeah. Same difference.
Yeah, same dog. Yeah, same dog. Yeah, same dog will hunt. Yes. Number two, for each item of clutter in the Brad Westmar Show studio, notice he called it the Brad Westmar Show studio. For each item of clutter in the Brad Westmar Show studio, at the time Brad arrives, Todd must take a shot. That makes sense because Todd doesn't drink. Todd's busy checking out Facebook right now. Number three.
I am not.
What are you checking out then?
I am looking at Jedi Superstar art. Thank you.
What an egomaniac.
See, you know what happened was once we did this, we lost him. When we started this, we lost him. That's when we lost him. We had him. We had him, and then we lost him. Number four. Every time Magic Matt channels Brad's ex-wife Amy, the listeners take a shot, as does Brad to dull the pain which being reminded of her causes. So that's good.
Gonna get hammered doing that one.
Oh yeah, you almost you gotta start.
Almost went into it.
You did almost go into it there. How about that?
Oh, Brad.
Oh God. What about every time I play the sound clips of her and stuff like that, huh?
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
Yeah, that should count.
get over it.
Oh God. Number five, every time Brad purposefully mentions something not in the show's to-do list, Magic Matt must take a shot. Makes sense.
Okay.
Throws you off. Yep. Every time Magic Matt remembers something about Brad's past, which even Brad can't remember, the listeners must take a shot.
That's a good one.
Happens a lot. Yep. Number seven, whenever Brad mentions the king, Elvis, the listeners must go and make themselves a peanut butter jelly and banana sandwich. Okay? Makes sense. Number eight, for each awkward failed prank call that Brad attempts to make using a soundboard, the listeners, Todd and Matt, all take a shot.
That everyone drinks.
What's that? Everyone drinks, except for
everyone me. Everyone drinks.
Except for me.
Okay.
Yeah, except for me, because I'm the one who jacked it all up. So... We haven't done those in a while. We might have to do some of those here in a few weeks. So, number nine, every time Brad hears a noise that no one else hears, he must take a shot. Yeah. Number 10, every time Todd leaves the echo on, he must take a shot. At least got a smile out of Todd. Number 11, every time Brad's daughter introduces the show, the listeners have to say, "Aw," and then take a shot of milk or juice from a sippy cup. Very good. And the last one he has on here, number 12, whenever anyone mentions the show having four or fewer fans, Brad must down a bottle of vodka to soothe his bruised ego. So, nice work. I do have a bruised ego, but nice work. Nice work, Jeeves. Very well. Appreciate it. I would say that you can keep adding to those as you see fit and let me know what you come up with. We'll go ahead and put these on the website along with the pictures of Hugh's Arby's bag will also be on the website here very shortly. Yes, Todd?
I think that he needs to put one on there. You need to drink like a whole barrel of something every time you don't take your second break.
Hmm. Which happens a lot, too.
It does. Yeah, you always say, load both those breaks.
I know, but the cool thing about not using a break is it gives me a break that I can use that I don't need to put together for a future show. And that helps me out quite a bit. See? There. See? That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, we probably should just go ahead and wrap up this puppy. Get things moving. Get things forward. Do we have John Hunter playing yet? Because you're like, stop looking at the... Well, then listen to what I'm talking to.
I'm listening to everything you said.
Yes, Matt. What were you saying?
Do you want a Bass Ackwards fantasy football update?
Oh, son of a bitch.
That's what I was waiting
Wait,
on.
Wait, time out.
You got to do it.
Sorry. I am so sorry. I had that on my... Wow. Also, everybody drinks when Brad actually misses something that was important on the show notes. So let's go ahead and get a little quick update from Matt on fantasy football. It's been several weeks since we've discussed fantasy football. You kind of went off into the went kind of rogue there for a few weeks. I thought you were probably pissed off because you were sick of me winning.
Well, you know, it was a combination of a few things. I was, in short, pouting because my Dolphins are terrible, my real fantasy football teams were doing terribly, and my Bass Ackwards team. My Bass Ackwards team were scoring more touchdowns than my real teams were.
Yeah. Yeah, you had mentioned that. It was still happening into week two, right?
Yeah. I had a horrible first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just pouted and didn't want to do anything with football, but I'm better now.
Good. I'm glad to have you back. So give us an update, however you would like to do, to give us a condensed update of what's been going on the last several weeks.
Well, you got off to a big start, but Todd and I have kind of crept back into the race here. Right now, you're only 2 points ahead of Todd for the season.
Okay.
And I'm only six behind you. Jeeves is in fourth, Brandon's in fifth, and Brian is way back in sixth.
Shocking.
Right now.
So you mentioned to me off the air before we started the show that you decided to make some changes to how you were scoring something. And I would like you to go ahead and explain it to the audience as well as to the other members of the league so they understand what you've done and why you've done it.
Well, we did change the scoring a little bit on the injured players. So now that if you have a wide receiver or quarterback that's injured and is not playing that week, you get 1 point for the weekly scoring, but you get your injury points have been upped from 4 to 5 in the case of wide receivers and from 4 to 8 in the case of a quarterback, because the quarterback is so high scoring in our league. And if you have an injured quarterback, he's not committing any turnovers, not getting sacked, things like that. Mm-hmm. They could get you the extra points. And, you know, basically I did that because I knew eventually that you were going to catch on and you were going to complain to me about it, and I was going to have to go back and change the scoring for like 10 weeks.
Yeah.
So I just went ahead and did it myself.
This is why you are now definitely a permanent fixture of this show. You get it, and I appreciate that.
No problem.
That's funny. So I went off to a commanding lead the first week, but it looks to me like the fact that, again, this happened last year too, the team in Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football that used the most Chiefs, if any, and it's usually one person that does it, ends up kind of tagging along for a while, and that's exactly why Todd is in second place right now, only a couple of points behind me, right?
Yeah, Matt Castle has been golden for Todd.
Brutal.
He's been really bad. And then, let's see, he's also got Carolina Panthers defense. Oh, we had some bonus points, too, along the way for coaches.
Yeah, tell me about those. Yeah,
we had the whole dust-up between Greg Schiano and Tom Coughlin at midfield after the Buccaneers ran over Eli Manning in the last play of the game when he was taking a knee.
Yes.
So we had a couple guys get bonus points for that. And then just this last week, Rex Ryan went off in his postseason or postgame press conference, and I got some bonus points for that.
Yep, I thought of you when I saw that. I totally forgot about the Coughlin exchange, and I believe Coughlin was my coach last year, and he didn't do jack diddly poo except go win the Super Bowl. But this year he decided to get a little heated, a little upset.
Yep. So actually it was, so Brian got bonus points for having Coughlin, and then Todd got points for having Schiano.
How about that? Who would have thunk that? Because last year, nobody had Schwartz, right?
No.
So it was funny. You had the Harbaugh-Schwartz exchange, but nobody had Schwartz. Didn't you have Harbaugh?
Yeah, I had Harbaugh last year.
This year, we had a little altercation at midfield, and both coaches were actually owned by somebody. That's kind of funny. I mean,
that's just good research on our part.
It's good research. Good research on your coach, Todd. Good job there on your Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football. I got to tell you, you did a fantastic job this year. Yeah, you did. So anything else you want to report on Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football right now? Is that pretty much sum it all up? I mean,
That's pretty good. Yep. Okay. Yep. We're cruising right along, and I know you had a great first week, but then this week three was not very kind to you.
Yes.
And brought you back down to the pack. But
yes,
it's this our crew, the actual show crew, the three of us, we're kind of out. We're starting to distance ourselves a little bit
with the other three. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're rookies.
That's okay.
Well, not Brandon.
Well, wait a minute. What place is Jeeves in?
Jeeves is in fourth. Yeah,
that's,
he's 9 points.
That's pretty good for one of the two new guys.
Yeah.
Think about it.
No, he's doing really well.
Good.
Yeah.
Because he picked a few wonky things. We were like, what's he doing?
Well, yeah, DeSean Jackson hasn't done him any favors. That was kind of a bad pick.
No.
But, Blaine Gabbert sucks, and that helps him. Brown's defense is bad. Oh, he had Billy Cundiff miss 3 field goals.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's so
nice.
He got some bonus points for that too. Yeah. So you know what? I don't even know if I added those in. I'm gonna have to go back and double check my scoring.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So he might be a little closer to me than I thought. He might be right up there with the three of us.
You know, I got to go ahead and give you kudos again and props for. Hang on one second. Let me make sure. Oh, wait up, Todd.
I'm right here, man.
Can you start the music so we can end the show? Oh. We may or may not make fun of Todd. Todd just turned the echo on, so
sorry.
I think that means Todd needs to drink. Is that right?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, I can't remember it right here. I'll see. Every time Todd squeaks the chair. Wait, no. Every time Brad plays Todd's pot smoker lap. No, wait. Every time Todd leaves the echo on, he must take a shot. Todd, please, take a shot.
I don't have a shot. I'm all out.
Okay. Okay. Todd, how do you feel right now? Yeah. You feeling good after that shot? Yeah. How about after that toke? How you feel right now? Yeah, I bet you do. You've never actually taken a drag off of anything.
No.
Okay. Really? Yeah, because you sound
never.
Like you're kind of laughing after you say
never,
no.
Never, never, never.
Because you say never and then you go. So, I don't know. What about cocaine? No? What about aspirin? You ever snort any aspirin? You did. You're nodding your head. I saw it.
No snorting.
No snorting. Aspirin. Matt, what's the strongest drug you've ever done?
Excedrin migraine.
No, come on.
For real.
What about your knee pain and stuff?
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah. That post-surgery pain meds they give you. I can only take one and make me sick. I never get past that.
Yeah, I've been made sick before by some of that stuff, too. I don't know how anybody becomes addicted to it.
No kidding.
It's weird. Really, really strange. So, hopefully I'll be over this Ambien hangover. I don't know. It's a long story. Things aren't really working tonight. I'm kind of a little bit place. I don't really know. Yeah, Todd over here staring at Jedi Superstar at work, and I'm sitting here trying to close the show. And
do you want my 3 things?
Oh, yeah. See, thanks. See, it's
let
been
me produce
so long.
It from 4 hours
it's
away.
It's been 3 weeks since we've done a show. Okay? And I'm back from vacation. So, yes, I need you to do 3 things right now to close the show. Matt, please take us away.
3-thing rack. Right here on. See, I even forgot what I used to call it.
Please.
3-thing recap. Number 1, Brad thinks fish are icky.
They are.
Number 2, thanks to technology, Brad can now have imaginary conversations with Todd.
Yep.
And number 3, the Brad Westmar Show drinking game is never, ever to be played while drinking from a plastic cup.
Ah, very good. I like that. Magic Matt, thank you very much for being here. We will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
And Todd Sheets, always a pleasure to have you here, too. And we will talk to you next week. I'm Brad Westmore, thanking you for joining us, and good night.